Hello friends, we will now look at chapter number 8 of the book International Finance, and in this chapter we are going to discuss sanctions and embargoes. Now, in order to explain to you sanctions and embargoes in a small nutshell, practically, I will take you back to your school days. Remember when you used to go to school? As children, yes, you were naughty. Or you were also lazy, you would not be doing your homework. And your teacher used to give you punishment. Sometimes giving you a slap, sometimes giving you a different form of punishment. Stand up on the bench, go and stand in the corner, go out of the class. These were all different forms of punishments being given to you for not doing something or doing something not properly. This sanctions and embargo is nothing but a similar type of punishment. Here, the punishment is being given country to country, or one group of country punishing a particular country for something which is not required to be done by that country, and that country is doing. That is the crux of this sanctions and embargo. You must have been reading quite a lot recently in newspapers. Let's see the topics that we are covering. Number one, sanctions. Definitions, expanded definition for you to understand. Then sanctions regime. What is sanctions regime? We'll have to understand. What is the history of sanctions? Then what are economic sanctions? Then we will also look at embargo. It's a different form of sanction, but it's an international law also. And of course, impact of current sanctions. You must have seen that because of this Russia-Ukraine war, there are a lot of sanctions being put on Russia, various countries, etc. So what is the impact of current sanctions? But at the same time, we also have critics of embargoes and sanctions. So we will look at these stage one by one. First, understand the sanctions definitions. Charter of United Nations does not expressly define sanction anywhere. But Article 41 states that measures not involving the use of armed force, including complete or partial interruption of economic relationship. Primary object of a sanction is that armed force should not be applied, but other forms of punishment to be given by interrupting the economic relations with that particular country. The Autonomous Sanctions Bill of 2010 defines sanctions as measures not involving the use of armed forces imposed in situations of international concern, including the grave repression of human rights or democratic freedoms of a population by a government, or the proliferation of weapons of mass destruction or their means of delivery, internal or international armed conflicts. These are the factors of definition by this autonomous sanction bill. Let us look at the aims of sanctions. What are the aims behind sanctions? It is to limit the adverse consequences of the situation of international concern. It's limiting the adverse impact. To seek to influence those responsible for giving rise to the situation of international concern to modify their behavior, to remove the concern by motivating them to adopt different policies and to penalize those responsible, for example, by denying access to international travel or to the international financial system. These are all forms of punishment. To change the behavior of a country, mainly it is to change the behavior of a country or a regime in cases where the country or regime is violating human rights, waging war, or endangering other countries. What are the types of sanctions? Sanctions vary by country and situations, and possible sanctions include an additional permit requirement for sensitive goods, software and technology which could be used in arms program. Why? Because war is required to be reduced. That is where this is part of it. Restrictions on loans and credits for certain peoples or companies, of course, related to war efforts, and freezing the assets of certain people or companies. For example, America has frozen the assets of Afghanistan, and travel and visa restrictions or visa bans for certain people. These are all different types of sanctions. What is the objective? What is the purpose of the sanction? To change undesirable behavior, like what happened in Syria. To limit opportunities for undesirable behavior. Example, Iran. It is an extensive restrictions on technology knowledge in the nuclear sector. Iran is becoming a nuclear power, and other developed countries do not want Iran to become a nuclear power. So that is why they have put a sanction on Iran to curtail this undesirable behavior. That is expansion of nuclear. To deter other countries from choosing an undesirable course of action. And one of the most favorite tools for governments to respond to foreign policy changes. That means insisting on the government as far as foreign policies are concerned. There are different types of sanctions regimes available. It would be a bit difficult to understand how the regime works, but let me bring up. Before United Nations, now we have got UN, United Nations, but before that, if you go back to a period of time, we had a League of Nations Covenant. During World War I, League of Nations Covenant created sanctions. Then came United Nations Security Council, UNSC. Sanctions regimes are imposed by UNSC as a matter of international law. And then countries implementing the United Nations Security Council sanctions regime. Countries develop their own method also. And then we have the World Bank Group's sanction system also. If you look at history, the League of Nations Covenant permitted the use of sanctions in 5 cases in that olden days. When Article 10 of the League of Covenant was violated, in case of war or threat of war, that was Article 11, when a League member does not pay an arbitration award, that is Article number 12, this is not United Nations, UN has come after that. Prior to UN was League of Nations. When a League member goes to war without submitting the dispute to the League Council or League Assembly, Article 12 to Article 15, and when a non-member goes to war against a League member, that is Article number 17. These are the history of sanctions prior to the arrival of the United Nations. Now, let us look at the economic sanctions. Most of the sanctions works on economics, not on war. Okay, so we will expand these definitions slightly more. Economic sanctions are defined as withdrawal of trade and financial relationships for policy, foreign policy and sovereignty. Security purpose, foreign policy purpose, trade and financial relations would be withdrawn. They may be comprehensive, prohibiting commercial activity with regard to entire country, like what we see in Russia today. They may be targeted, blocking transactions by and with particular business groups or individuals. For example, terror. Most of the Taliban members are under sanction. That's individual members. Afghanistan is not under sanction. But the terror group that is Taliban are termed to be terror groups. So members of Taliban are coming under the sanction. There are commercial and financial penalties applied by one or more countries against a targeted self-governing state, group or individual. Mind you, sanctions are not only on countries but on individuals also. They may also be imposed for a variety of political, military and social causes. Human rights is one of the social causes. They can be used for achieving domestic and international purposes. That's the major usage. Let us look at the applicability of the sanctions. Economic sanctions are used as a tool of foreign policy by many governments. They are used as an alternative weapon instead of going to war to achieve certain desired outcomes. Let us not go to war, but we go to economic sanctions to bring about the same result. They are imposed to try to alter the strategic decisions of state and non-state actors that threaten their interests. Now, state means like Russia is a state, so sanction applied on state. Non-state actors like Taliban. Talibans are non-state actors. Entire Afghanistan is not under sanction, but Taliban group of people, they are under sanction. They are non-state actors. Because they are hurting the interests or violating international norms of behavior. And they are usually imposed by a larger country upon a smaller country for one or two reasons only. One may be the latter is perceived as a threat to the security of the former. Any threat to the security applies sanction. Or the country treats its citizens unfairly, that is the human rights violations. What are the forms of sanction? What form do they take place? A smart sanction aims to minimize the suffering of innocent civilians. Normally that doesn't happen. Okay, but yes, that's a smart sanction. They take the variety of forms like travel bans, asset freezes, arms embargo, critical capital restraints, foreign aid reductions, and most of all, trade restrictions. That's the most severe one. It is required to coerce or deter or punish or shame the entities that endanger their interests or violate international norms of behavior. That's the objective. They are also used to advance a range of foreign policy goals. That means the countries should change their foreign policy. including counter-terrorism, counter-narcotics, non-proliferation, democracy, human rights promotion, or conflict resolution, and latest, which has come about, are cyber security. Let us look at the Afghanistan-based sanctions to understand how it's working. The United Nations, US, and other government imposed sanctions on the Taliban and its senior leadership. There are no sanctions against Afghanistan or its de facto sovereign government. There is no sanction on Afghanistan. There is no sanction on the Afghan government. But there is a sanction on the Taliban and their senior leadership. These sanctions are not automatically applicable to the Central Bank of Afghanistan. But after the Taliban has taken over, the US Treasury has stopped recognizing the Afghan Central Bank's credentials at the New York Federal Reserve. Why? Because two senior officials appointed by the Taliban to serve at the Central Bank of Afghanistan are listed under US and UN sanctions. Now, just because two senior officers who are members of the Taliban have been appointed in a senior position in the Central Bank of Afghanistan, therefore, all transfers, all funds of Central Bank of Afghanistan have been curtailed under sanction. Hence, the Central Bank of Afghanistan, they're not recognized as a bank, as bank officials having any credentials. So the bank remains cut off from its access to their reserves of $3.5 billion. Afghanistan has got money in their central bank account at New York of $3.5 billion. But they are not able to touch that money. They are not able to access that money because Central Bank of Afghanistan cannot withdraw it unless, as long as they have got the two senior person, Taliban people in senior position in Central Bank of Afghanistan, because those two people are under sanction. Look at the Russian sanctions. Russia has been known to utilize economic sanctions to achieve its political goals since a very long time. And their aim is particularly on states that aspire to join the United European Union and the NATO, North American Treaty Organizations, such as Ukraine, Moldova, and Georgia. These countries were originally with the Russian Confederation. Now they have gone to European Union and they are now becoming member of the NATO. That is why Russia considers them to be a threat to Russia. And therefore, Russia implemented a number of sanctions on Georgia, including natural gas price rises. There were also wider trade sanctions that has impacted the Georgian economy. It has hurt the economy of that country due to the sanctions imposed by Russia. Russia has enacted the Dima Yakovlev law that defines sanctions against U.S. citizens. Certain citizens, not all, U.S. citizens involved in violations of the human rights and freedom of Russian citizens. Only certain American citizens are under sanction. Let's understand what's embargo now. Embargo is a different kind of punishment, different kind of sanction, I should say. But it is an international law. So let's understand a definition of this law. It is the legal prohibition by governments restricting the departure of vessels. Primarily, embargo was applied to all foreign going vessels. They also restrict movement of goods from one, some or all locations to one or more countries. Embargo on goods. Countries, of course, use embargoes to punish objectionable behavior without resorting to military force. Again, the objective is same as sanction, not using armed force. They are often in response to human rights violation and armed conflict also. Both of these are major factors, either human rights or armed conflict. An embargo is similar, but usually implies a more severe sanction. That means it is more serious than sanction. They are considered to be a strong diplomatic measures. They are very strong diplomatic measures because they have got an international law backing them up. And they are considered as legal barriers to trade. Whether you stop the movement of vehicles, foreign vehicles, or you stop the movement of goods. So they are barriers to trade. Embargoes may be broad or narrow in scope, depending on the requirement by the country or various entities. Embargo is a tool of economic warfare, not physical warfare, economic warfare that may be employed for a various number of political purposes. It's all applicable to political purposes so that the countries change their behavior. They are designed to punish the targeted country for its actions. Action may be human rights violations. They tend to deny it the means to carry out objectionable policies. No, as long as you don't curtail your objectionable policy, we will continue embargo with you. They have been more effective in punishing the targeted country. That means embargo has been more effective than sanctions. It may also be used to prevent potentially threatening countries from increasing their military powers by stopping them from creating weapons of mass destruction. Embargo on movement of goods and services for creating weapons of mass destructions. There is also a trade embargo. Trade embargo is a prohibition on exports to one or more countries. Depends on the type of embargo being placed and the country on which embargo is being placed. The term is often used to refer to a ban on all commerce from or to the country. It is also an official order to stop doing business with another country. And mind you, this has got an international backing by international law. It can also mean limiting or banning export or import, creating quotas for quantity, imposing special tolls or taxes, banning freight or transport, vehicles, freezing assets or seizing freights, assets, bank accounts, limiting the transport of particular technologies connected with weapons of mass destruction, especially nuclear powered. They may also be employed to prohibit export of arms and other war material. Just like we saw the history of sanctions, let us now look at the history of embargoes also. U.S. embargo of 1807 involved a series of laws passed by the U.S. Congress to avoid war and to force both France and Britain to respect American rights. So initially, America went to embargo France and Britain initially. The U.S. embargo against Cuba began on March 14, 1958. It applied only to arms sale to Cuba. Later, it was expanded to include other imports and eventually extended to almost all trade with Cuba. Now, here, understand one thing. This embargo means there's an embargo only by United States for Cuba. It is not necessary that we in India agree to that embargo. No. It's only between US and Cuba. And of course, to retaliate for the downing of a civilian American airplane by the Cuban Air Force, compliance was seriously enforced. Of course, when America applied embargo on Cuba, Cuba also retaliated. But they retaliated maybe in a wrong way by shooting a passenger airplane of America. Resulted in the death of a large number of people. And therefore, America became more strict in applying the embargo on Cuba. U.S. President has got authority to impose embargoes on and sanctions. They have been given by their country special powers. Through the Trading with the Enemy Act, which has authorized the U.S. President to impose embargoes and other sanctions during times of war. The International Emergency Economic Powers Act authorizes the president, U.S. president, to enact commerce restrictions during strictly defined periods of national emergency. And also the U.S. Office of Foreign Assets control administrators and administrates the embargoes for freezing sources of funding for terrorist and drug trafficking organizations. All activities of terrorism and especially drug trafficking are being looked by this particular office of the United States, because they say that both are related. Drug trafficking funds are being used for terrorist activities. That is where they want to curtail both simultaneously. And then trade with Cuba, North Korea, Iran, and Syria is prohibited under U.S. embargoes. These are the four major countries which have been affected. U.S. restriction on trade with Russia and Ukraine territories under Russian occupation have also been described as an embargo. Apart from the sanction, America has declared it as embargo with Russia on account of this war. When we look at the enforcement of embargo, the enforcement of an embargo may involve the detention of merchant vessels or other property to prevent their movement to a foreign territory. And civil embargo consists of the detention of national vessels in home ports to protect them from foreign depredations. There are hostile embargoes also, which involve the detention of the vessels or other property of a foreign country. Not their own property, but foreign country's property can be seized by embargo. There are also multiple embargoes which require the collective cooperation and most likely to be effective when all countries that have the capacity to undermine them abide by their restrictions. Otherwise, it cannot be effective at all. Unless and until all the countries jointly do in case of multilateral embargoes. The ability of a targeted country to acquire embargoed goods from a third party will always be likely to reduce the effectiveness of the embargo. Yes, I can procure it from a third country, so there's no sense of the embargo at all. Thank you.